Well, good morning. It's good to be with you here again. And as Brother Gary mentioned, please continue to pray. My thoughts were a little scattered this morning, but pray that the Lord would guide us and bring those together, and we'll be able to look into His Word and praise Him. I had real quickly a thought there with me. He was reading what Brother Joe had sent to us of counting our blessings, and just kind of thinking of your mind easily wants to compare a lot of things, you know. And it was quickly easy to compare my situation and his. And he's the one telling me to count blessings, you know. And that's good that that's brought to my mind, because I don't do that daily as I should. And just not necessarily to, you know, physically get a notebook out and write a list, but that I'm conscious and aware of what God has blessed me with. And am I thoughtful to that end in acknowledging His blessing? I appreciate Brother Joe sending that to us. That was a very good thought. I'll read this first verse in Malachi, and again, I ask that you pray for me as we go forward, that thoughts would be gathered together. But have on in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." And "for I am the Lord, I change not." That's a statement. It's the first thing that we'll notice. That's not a suggestion. And it's a declaration. That's a declarative statement. And he declares, "I am the Lord." He doesn't say, "I am a Lord of something after that," such as a king or someone in supervision of other people, or, you know, and the words of the Bible, "Lord over a household," or "Lord over an army," or "Lord over some business facility," that sort of thing. He says, "I am the Lord of all, the Lord of heaven and earth, the God of heaven and earth, the Lord of everlasting." And that thought is hard for me to comprehend sometimes. Everlasting. We know that principle. We see it in the Bible. We understand that the God is everlasting. But if you just sit and ponder that, everything in my life, everything that is associated with me, is timely. So for me to comprehend and try to understand everlasting is a it takes a little effort. It takes some work. But he says, "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." And if we go over to Lamentations, we also get the verse where that song came from. And this will be Lamentations 3 and 22. It says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. And if I, again, just bearing down and establishing a little bit more, the Lord's declaration of himself, we can also go to Exodus 3, where Moses sees the Lord in a burning bush, and he says, "Who shall I say that sent me? I am that I am." And just take a little time and try to understand that statement. And I am that I am, not because of, not in order to be, I am that I am. He always has been, always will be. He's in the same state that he always has been and always will be. And again, that's hard for sometimes for us to relate to because we change. We from birth begin to die. There's changes within us as we grow. There's changes. And then as we age and when we die, there's changes throughout our entire life. So for us to understand that God does not change, what a principle for us to establish in our minds. That's a very basic principle that we must establish in our minds. God does not change. In Genesis, in the beginning, God. Once again, you know that he created a world. He spoke a world into existence. And before he spoke a world into existence, I am. So I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And if I think about that consumed, of course, with the recent events, our mind, you know, could go to the evil that's about us, those that are consumed by death in recent events. We're affected in some way. We're very saddened in that. And death is definitely a part of our existence here. But we can be consumed in many ways. And I think the first, to understand that, y'all pray for me. Again, my thoughts are not flowing as easy as I'd like this morning, but pray for us all as we move forward here. So if we are to understand, though, we establish one thing, God, the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, the Almighty, and he is stable, he is unchanging. In James, there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And that's an interesting way to describe the no change. So, and that's words in the Bible to help us understand. There's absolutely no change in God. So if I cast a shadow in some direction, anyway, anywhere I'm at, I cast a shadow because there's light, say from this light shining, but there's a space behind me that I block with my body, and so there's a shadow. And if I turn, that shadow changes. The Lord, it says also in that verse, It comes down from the Father of lights. The Lord is the light. He is the eternal light. There can be no shadow about Him, nor change, because the light originates from God. Is that, did I say that clearly where we can understand? There, we cast a shadow because we must stand in the light. We block or absorb light. But with God, He is the origin of light. He sheds light out. He bestows light upon us. He reveals Himself to us. He gave light unto the earth and spoke it into existence in a natural way. But He's the light of the world. And with Him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. For us to talk a little more of the consumed, though, we must also understand the principle that in the Garden of Eden, man fell. Man transgressed this eternal God, this origin of light, of life, this eternal being that had created a world and created man and placed him on that. He transgresses against Him. And he is condemned to death. So man from then on is condemned with depravity. And we describe that doctrine as total depravity. Man is a sinner. So we see two stark differences. God, eternal, righteous, and holy, pure, the light, and man as a sinner who casts a shadow, who transgresses against God, pure and holy. So, man could be consumed. He is mortal. As we said earlier, he can be consumed by death in the end, of course. And he can be, death can happen by wicked hands. We've seen that very vividly in our community recently. But we can also be consumed by ourselves. I could spend so much time on, you know, and I'm failed to come up with a good example, but my mind and efforts and energy could be so focused on something of this world, and I'm not.
Football games.
Thank you, Brother Gary. I don't know why I can't. On football games, that I place that in a form as a god, little g god, and that becomes something that I focus my intentions, my efforts, and that casts a shadow, as it were, in the way of the light that is placed within me of God. There's a shadow cast because I'm consumed. I'm consumed. I'm completely occupied by football games. And I can't concentrate on the Lord. And it could be many things. Our health can consume us.
I guess in either way, I guess we could be consumed and being so fit, I could spend all my time on that. I'm definitely not that energetic about my health to do that. I probably should be more energetic, but we also could be in a situation where we're so brought down by our health and our own body, our own sinful flesh, that is seeing the effects of sin, that we're just consumed by that. And we're just completely cast down. But the verse says, I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, because of my unchanging, ye are not consumed. So, if we go to Psalm 36, there's a few verses that probably describe this better than I'm trying to do. Verse 5, it said, this is Psalm 36 and 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth into the clouds. He's describing how broad-reaching, how everlasting the Lord is. Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness, thy purity, thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. Without the Lord's blessings, what's the verse that man might plant the crops, but God gives the rain and the increase? And I'm forgetting where that verse and how it goes, but thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen, they are cast down, and shall not be able to rise. I want to grab one verse over in, I think it's 2 Timothy. Yes, 2 Timothy 2 and 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He cannot deny himself. This God, where there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, entered into an eternal covenant. Again, man was plunged in sin, but God in his mercy looked down in love and entered into a covenant, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, of salvation. A covenant of salvation. And because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. There was no greater. There is no greater. And he is faithful to that covenant. and that triune Godhead that entered into that covenant. He cannot deny himself. So if we, with that in mind, that covenant in mind, let's go back to Psalm 36. And we went through that we can be consumed by so many different things in this world, in this life. And it says, though we might deny him, we might be consumed and turn away from our God. We might deny him. And he might even deny us in a removing of his felt presence from us. And in a daily way, he might deny us, it says. But he abideth faithful in an eternal sense. He abideth faithful because he entered into an eternal covenant that we might someday live with him. He cannot deny himself, and he is the one, he, God, the Father, sent his Son for a sacrifice, and the Son committed to be that sacrifice, and the Father accepted that eternal sacrifice. He cannot deny that covenant. And the result of that covenant, that he also cannot deny, that those elect children of God that he chose to be in that covenant, and that blood be applied to, would live with him in glory. But in a timely sense, in a daily walk here, thy righteousness is like the mountains, thy judgments are a great deep. How excellent is thy loving kindness. We see his loving kindness in that covenant. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Oh, help us to see that eternal covenant and put our trust in an unchanging God and turn away from those things that would consume us in this life. Our own selves that would consume us. Help me to turn away from my own self and look and trust under the shadow of his wing and be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of the Lord's house. He is able to give exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think, it says. The fatness of his house. And thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. You notice that it's the river of thy pleasures. We have rivers here on this earth. And we floated a river here a few weeks ago, and we had pleasure in doing that. We enjoyed it very much. It was a pleasant time. And we enjoyed some of God's creation. And truly thought upon him. We had a little conversation to that effect. But this river of thy pleasures that he speaks of is the pleasure of his love and the pleasure of the presence of the Lord God with us and his Holy Spirit dwelling within us and nearness, that we might know him and that we might see the light of his salvation. We might see the light of him. For with thee is the fountain of life. With thee is the fountain of life. The fountain of life in an eternal sense, we understand. But he is our life, even as we walk daily. He's the reason to get up every morning. His mercies are new every morning. Though the night might be long, his mercy is new every morning. And a fountain of life within us. And in thy light, we shall see light. We shall see light and understanding of Christ Jesus our Lord, a Savior that came to this earth to bleed and die for our sins. Those things that consume me could not consume Him. But He overcame those sins. And He overcame death, hell, and the grave, that we might see light in Him. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me. And again, that foot of pride could be my own foot, or it could be the feet of others coming against me. And the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. I return again to Lamentations. Great is thy faithfulness. And we could go to Hebrews and see a record of great faithful saints of God. But their faith was tainted with sin. And at some point during their travel, they faltered. The Lord's faithfulness, there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning in His faithfulness. His faithfulness to His Father in the covenant and the Father in the Son, but there's no turning or shadow of turning even in His faithfulness to us as His adopted children. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. We are given a hope in Christ Jesus. And some days, as Brother Gary said, it's hard to quietly wait. When we see some of that, the feeling of being consumed pressing in on us, we want to say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I feel like I'm being consumed some days. And Jesus, I just want to be freed. I want to be freed from this sin, whether it be my own or the sin that so easily besets us, that's around us in this world. But we're to stand fast in Him. Stand fast and stand strong in the light of Christ our Savior. And patiently look for His coming. And serve Him every day as we wait and hope in Him. Come ahead, Brother Gary.
Well, I wasn't ready for you to stop. I was enjoying that immensely. We're admonished to stand fast. What does that mean? Be strong, unmovable, unchangeable. Stand fast in Philippians, fourth chapter of Philippians. I thought of this as he was speaking there. And I'm going to just take a few minutes because I've seen the groceries in the dining room and I'm getting hungry. So, but anyway, fourth chapter of Philippians. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Idaios, and I beseech Syntyche, I'm not reading those right, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. So he goes on, he talks about what standing fast means and how to let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, we serve a wonderful and powerful Lord. And he is unchanging. Hold to God's unchanging hand. I've got to thinking of that song, you know. Build your hope on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. I want to thank Brother Matt for bringing these words to us. And I think sometimes there's a point where you say, enough said. You know, and I appreciate what he's brought to our minds about the power and the strength and how glorious and eternal and strong our Lord is, who he is and what he is. And we've got to strive each day to do the things that would be honoring and pleasing to him. And it's so hard to do. But I'm thankful for the love of this church, for those of you that come out, have a desire to be here and to worship his grand and glorious name. You're not here so men can see you. You're not here so you can brag about, well, I went did this on Sunday. You're here because you have a desire to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you're thankful for his salvation, for his blessedness, for doing for us what we were unable to do for ourselves. And that's, I hope that's why you're here this morning. And I know that's, I hope that's why I'm here. That I want to praise my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I love what you said about the covenant, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. When you get to thinking about, and these three are one, as it says in 1 John 5, I believe, it's hard for us to put our minds around that. Three in one. Christ was God. The Holy Spirit is God. God the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And they all had different things. They're presented to us. God is presented to us three different ways. But it's God. It's the strength. It's our Lord. It's our Savior. We're going to sing a song. And